I'm thrown up.
Hey, welcome to this podcast.
Well, yeah, this is the Sick Nasty Deluxe podcast, episode 11, 12, I don't remember.
No, this is 12. 11. This is 12.
12?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I need to start 11. Posting these when I make them.
No,
that's my problem. Good.
When was the last one that you posted? What episode are we on?
I keep stockpiling. I'm making a buffer of podcasts.
This can't be a buffer. We talk about things that are current.
Nah, nobody knows what the hell's current when we're talking about it.
Nobody, what? Brandon,
well, anyway, this last Saturday, let me date this for you.
Well, we
I
had
saw
a
the beginning of DC Nation, which is, and I know I'm not the first to say it, but it's the comeback of the Saturday morning cartoon.
No, it's not.
Not completely. No. I don't think it's going to come back like that. I think it's going to come back like Toonami.
Was it gone?
But I considered Toonami sort of Saturday morning, even though it was every day. But it just had that feeling of new stuff all the time.
I don't remember Saturday morning cartoons only lasting for an hour.
I guess it was an hour this time, but it's going to keep getting bigger. They're going to add more shorts and stuff to it. But right now it's just an hour block. But I mean, Disney's already so, like, up in arms about it that they've decided to make their own block on,
What was that?
That was my phone.
Why is your phone on?
I'm putting it away.
I did not realize you were that important.
I was getting texts. All right.
From ladies?
I mean, I don't know. What do you think about just DC Nation in general and if Marvel Universe is going to be good? I mean, you know you're going to watch another Spider-Man cartoon.
I probably would. I mean, well...
Yeah, it's going to be sort of based in the Ultimate Universe.
It's called Spectacular Spider-Man. It's called the best Spider-Man cartoon in a long, long time.
You really like that. And
so
a few other people that did, too. But it just... I don't know. It didn't sit well with me. I didn't like the art. I thought it was kinetic enough. I want some more action.
I think, like, Mary Jane was actually, like, a good character. Like, she was well-rounded. She wasn't, corn dog on Peter.
Like, that kind of cartoon is exactly what I like normally, which is, you know, more about the relationships of Peter Parker in high school and stuff like that, but some reason, I don't know, I watched it and I was just like, I wish there was more fighting.
I like the fact that Mary Jane was, like, a popular girl, and she was like, yeah, you know, I kind of got this date thing, and it's fun to, like, you know, mess with Peter Parker, but she wasn't, like, all, like, over him for no reason. Like, why do you like Peter Parker?
Hopefully they're going to, be doing the real Ultimate Mary Jane because she's going to be super emo and quiet and nerdy.
Oh, I love it.
I
love it.
I don't know. I like that version of Mary Jane. I think it's good.
No, I mean, you know, it makes me
I mean,
more
you like Ultimate Spider-Man.
I mean, I like the new one, especially. I hope it keeps going. Yay.
Oh, Miles? Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. But I really like the costume.
I doubt that's going to be in the cartoon. I would love if he was in the cartoon.
Oh my god, would that be amazing? Oh, I would love it.
You know, it could be a surprise. Maybe they're just, like, pulling over, even though we've already seen footage of it from Comic-Con.
Just get rid of Peter Parker. That'd be okay with me. I'm okay with that.
I mean, proof is in the good story that Bendis is writing without Peter Parker.
Well, it just proves
let's not get rid of him in the main story. He's still a great character.
It just proves that Bendis really loves Spider-Man that much.
Yeah, he loves him beyond Peter Parker.
Anyway.
Which is a sort of a weird... I couldn't do that. I like Peter Parker as Peter Parker.
No, he's such a... Okay, so this boohoo story about, oh, it's so hard to be a superhero. Okay, I get that, Peter. Listen, that's great.
Well, it's not just hard. He's also, like, really sarcastic and funny.
He's a poor nerd. Except, like, half the versions of him, he's no longer a nerd. And so they have to figure out more ways for him to be pathetic.
Well, the current version, he's definitely a nerd.
Yeah...
You're just talking about the Ultimate stuff where he's not really a nerd.
No, he was trying to be a nerd in that. He's trying to be a modern nerd. But, I mean, he's just not nerdy. Like, I don't feel bad for him. Like, it's hard to sometimes. Like, the things they throw at him.
Well, that's not going to be part of the cartoon.
It's like, hey, look at this handsome guy who's also poor.
It's going to be like a little kid's
cartoon. Well, you know, it sucks to be you, Peter. Maybe he's made some bad life choices.
Mm-hmm.
Get a job, you hippie. I mean, hey, that's how I feel.
If you don't like the most like archetypal superhero, I feel kind of sad. I don't think you enjoy any.
No, that's called Superman, and everything's great about him, and his life's going fantastic.
Oh, so you like the worst one and you hate the best one? I get it.
No, that's pretty much how I feel. Because,
All right,
everything you say is bullshit. I don't even care. I don't even care.
Well, did you watch DC Nation?
Interestingly enough, I have an interesting view on it. So, as far as DC Nation goes, I did not actually watch it on Saturday morning because I have a real job. And I have to work.
A job where you work on Saturday?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
I'm just saying, you can't say real job and then talk about working on Saturday.
That's true. It is kind of a contradiction. But What I did do is I watched it on a web stream the day after. And it was actually pretty cool because they actually kept in all the little bumps. I got to watch the shorts.
Yeah.
And I got to watch...
That's part of watching it.
Right, I got to watch it the way it was intended. And I got to watch 2-minute commercials. So, hey, Internet, you're finally understanding that it's okay to play a commercial for 2 minutes because we can do other things, just like we would on TV. Yeah.
And I actually happened to be up. I just, you know, woke up at like 9:30, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember New Green Lantern's on. But it turned out to be the old Green Lantern, but that's beside the point. Like, it was a new... You had Green Lantern, which, I mean, I still love to watch it again. I'm really into it.
All right,
and then you also Young Justice.
All right, so let's talk about that. So first off, how is scheduling and everything like that? Pretty cool. The new DC logo, I actually kind of like the animation things they did with it, but I still hate the logo.
Now that you see them like using it on something, this is like the first thing I think it's been on.
So
I like it.
So first couple things that I noticed. One thing, they had a really great plug where they would show like my three favorite superheroes like all together: the Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Wait, that's just a picture from Young Justice. Wait, they're not actually having their own show. Oh, that's right, it's only 2 hours. I was like, God damn it. Why would you show those characters when they're not even main characters in any one of the damn shows? Listen, I understand.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like, what this is more than just, you know, two cartoons. It's like celebrating just DC's line of characters.
Yes, they should bring in more. Hell, Mad Magazine.
I think they will. No. I think this is sort of a testing the waters to see if people are ready for cartoons again.
Well, Mad Magazine...
DC wants to test the waters.
The Mad Magazine show should be part of the DC Nation block.
Well, it hasn't been owned by DC in years.
Yeah, it is. It's still part... No, actually, it's part of DC. Like, they'll consider it part of DC. Like, if you go and order Mad Magazine, it's from the DC section.
All right.
Well, anyway, but regardless... So that was the first thing.
I would like to see it there. That's just because I love the Mad Magazine.
There's going to be a Batman show, like a CG one coming out. That'll probably come to this lineup, but, you know, whatever. And that was my second thing. What DC Nation taught me was that I really hate CG TV animation. Now, notice I said CG TV animation, because for some reason, it just always looks awful. Like, they're really stilted.
So,
it's got all the same problems
You saw this... You're talking about the Green Lantern, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw that months ago.
I know, but for some reason it bugs me more now. And that's the thing. Like, I think some of the character animation looks really good, but a lot of it also looks really stilted. Like, it's not as bad as, like, Clone Wars faces, where they don't move at all, and they're
I agree. Some of the talking, it just sort of looks like random jaw movements. It doesn't look very articulated.
Well, and the backgrounds...
I think the fight scenes are where it's at for this cartoon.
Well,
it's very,
not
very
bad.
Kinetic and awesome. And
it's just that the backgrounds are boring looking. They look horrifying because there's just nothing there. They try and stylize it, but they're too empty and it's just too generic.
Yeah.
And that's the problem I have with CG. Listen, I love Reboot, but if I look at the old stuff that Reboot did, I looked at it through kids' eyes. It just looks
so
horrifying.
For most of that stuff, it aged well. I think you're being weirdly picky about Reboot.
Reboot looks pretty bad as far as characters. People don't move like they do in Reboot.
I have some... What are you talking about? They're not people. They're weird computer things.
That doesn't excuse it.
You have no idea how they move until that show just showed you. That's how they move.
Don't tell me how I'm supposed to feel.
All right, well, the only weird thing I saw about this was a lot of the stuff seems sort of geared towards little kids, like maybe around, like, you know, 10 to 13 years old, something like that. And the Green Lantern show felt like it was geared towards that, and a lot of the shorts felt like they were geared towards that. But then you also have Young Justice, which is a show I love, but it's so much more, like, preteen to adult kind of level stuff.
Well, okay, so let's go to Young Justice. So Young Justice was a show that I really hated when I first started watching it. Like, I really didn't like it. I felt like...
I've heard that from some people, but I loved it immediately.
Oh, it was so moody and just, like... And then there was...
I loved the way Robin talked was my favorite part.
Well, I mean, it was kind of funny he talked in slang, but... The thing about it was there was, like, one episode about... I think it was called, like, Welcome to Happy Harbor, where the Martian Manhunter girl comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just, like, dicks to her for no good reason. I was just like, God damn it.
They weren't dicks to her. It was just Superboy was a dick to her.
No,
and
they were all...
Robin was sort of just indifferent. And then you had Kid Flash who wanted to impress her.
No, they were all pretty dicks. They're like, "How could you mess that up? How could you talk in our mind?" And I was just like, "Really? It's not that bad."
No, it was really just Superboy. Oh no, it was also Aqualad was like that.
Yeah,
Superboy and Aqualad were the only two that didn't like her.
Yeah, they were just, I don't know, I have to rewatch the episode, but they just seemed like total assholes to it for
no good reason. I remember that. I've been rewatching that for a little bit now, just because the new episode started.
No, there was like a part where she was like, oh, that villain must be the Red Tornado, and then she was wrong, and they were just like, really like, you screwed up, this is the last thing. It's like, she made one goddamn mistake, and it wasn't even that big of a deal.
I think Robin did get upset with her for a little bit, but Kid Flash was never. So it wasn't really a group thing.
Well, Wally has to be the stupid humor, that's the whole point. But it just felt stupid. Alright, now that being said, alright, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm gonna freaking, like, stab it.
No, I was just trying to talk about the episode.
It's not dead, Brandon, alright? There's always a but, alright? But, so, the but is, I actually liked it. And that's the thing, I've missed it. It's good. It's good old teen drama, and it's fun, and it was good, and... Oh, Zatanna, I miss you. Why did that have to happen?
Oh, she's like a main character. Oh, you're talking about Zatara, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, like, not trying to spoil it. I mean,
no,
just a cool idea for an episode.
That shit. All right, Zatara, he becomes Dr. Fate. Also, love the fact Dr. Fate's in it. Fantastic.
Well,
I love sorcery.
The original Dr. Fate's been mentioned a bunch of times. Kent Nelson.
Yeah, I'm a humongous big sorcery guy when it comes to, like, Vertigo and all the DC books. I love that stuff.
It's funny, I'm way more about that in Marvel, but I don't like... I never read, what was that group book that... Shadow Pact.
What are you talking about? Oh, I love Shadow Pact.
I never read Shadow Pact. I just didn't care.
Oh, and what... But you like Unwritten? I mean, that's got the DC kind of sorcery stuff. That's exactly what the DC sorcery.
I know, but I'm talking about... It feels out... I don't know.
That's the same.
Unwritten feels outside of it.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway... But, so, I really liked Young Justice. It's still really fun. It's got a lot of the great melodrama. And guess what? Superboy doesn't talk that much, so that makes it great.
Well, I liked... Actually, this is probably my favorite version of Superboy in a long time.
He's just so grunty and moody. It's kind of
annoying. Yeah, that's why I like him. I don't need, like, a weird, constantly talking, moping about Superboy. I need one who bottles it up.
By the way, there's one thing that always kind of annoys me. I never feel like anyone can ever get... like, speedsters, right? Like, they can't ever do a good sense of someone running really fast and be able to beat up people. Like, they still
they're
always...
in a cartoon?
Yeah, I feel like they're always moving very slowly, so we can still keep our eyes up with them.
I mean, probably my favorite representation was the movie... The Darwin Cook one, New Frontier. You saw that animated.
Yeah, I feel like that was pretty good, actually.
That was, like, when he was fighting... He was fighting Captain Cold,
yeah.
And he found all those bombs. It was really well done.
They just keep doing these motion blurs, and I always feel like Kid Flash is running kind of slow for someone who's supposed to be so fast.
I noticed that too, but like there have been like moments where like he ran faster than he's like, you know, was trying to, or he did something weird.
Where there's something like, it's like, hey, Robin and him, you have to get to point A to point B, and they both end up there at the same time, and it's like, really?
Yeah, but Robin was swinging around buildings. That's obviously faster.
Yeah, no, obviously. I forgot about terminal velocity and wind resistance. No, completely.
Yeah. And if you have a guy who's faster than, like, a speeding bullet, do you really need an archer on your team?
That's true.
I think that makes a lot of sense. That girl doesn't need to be there.
Well,
I mean, I love her character development.
Artemis is my
favorite character now.
It's the same reason why Hawkeye is there in the new Avengers movie, because everybody needs a turd.
Well, the Avengers movie, that's a little weird. It feels like, I mean, like, Hawkeye works so well in the comics, I just don't see how they're going to make him work in live action.
Hey, you've got this super powerful guy, and this other guy with this awesome suit, and you've got
you have a god and an ogre. Yeah, the dude in the suit, and then you have Hawkeye,
yeah,
who we saw for a split second in the Thor movie.
Yeah, hey,
and he didn't do anything.
Hey, he's got a bow, and then you've got regular chick.
Yeah, and this is critique coming from a guy who I absolutely love Hawkeye in the comics. I just don't see how he's going to work
in
the
movie. What about freaking Black Widow? You've got that girl. What does she do? She shoots a gun. Really? That's good.
No, Black Widow, instead of walking across a room, backflips and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually like the idea of Black Widow more than I like the idea of Hawkeye in a live-action movie. I think it works better. Because it's goofy, but she can actually fight. What the hell can Hawkeye do?
Why not freaking get the Wasp? Why not get someone who actually has superpowers?
Oh, no, seriously. The exclusion of the Wasp and Hank Pym really pisses me off. But
yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
Yes,
because they were founding members, and
complain.
I would love to see them as part of that. But
you can complain. Anyway.
That's just a fanboy complaint.
So, DC
like
Nation, though... You know, I'm not really big on the whole Green Lantern cartoon, but the shorts, in-between shorts. So, I don't know which ones actually aired, but I saw the Plastic Man one, and I saw the Tiny Titans, and I also saw the Aardman one with Batman and Superman and all those kids doing the voices. So the Armin one was cute. I don't really understand it. I guess they were trying to...
You have to know about this. This was, like, something that they did in the 90s in the UK.
I know, they were doing the whole zoo things where they were...
The creature features.
I know. I understand what they were doing, but
He just redid it. It wasn't good. I gotta say, it was probably my least favorite series of shorts.
It was cute, I guess. I didn't really get how it pertained to the superheroes, but it's cute, so I don't know. It's alright.
It's exactly like Creature Features. He records a bunch of little kids talking about nonsense, and then he puts them into the claymation random superheroes.
Yeah, like...
He used to do animals, though.
Yeah, I actually liked Superman. Superman was the best part of that whole thing. He was cute. Anyway, the Joker doesn't...
Next week it's gonna be the beginning of the new Teen Titans stuff.
Well, now that's the thing, so I'm gonna get to it. So I saw Plastic Man, too. So Plastic Man was pretty funny. I actually liked it. You know what? Oh, who is it? Tom Kenny or Tim Kenny or whatever the voice of SpongeBob is? So If you look online, you go to YouTube and you search for Plastic Man preview or pilot, you'll find the original one that he did. And I guess at some point, I don't know if before he was just a really big Plastic Man fan, but he did this great short. And he does Plastic Man in such a great voice, and he has such a great, like, the puns and stuff like that.
He's not the one who does the Plastic Man in Brave and the Bold, is he?
He does, he does. Oh. And I really like this one even more because this is real Plastic Man. This is Plastic Man. He fights, like, really stupid villains. They have absolutely no sense. It's really comical and crazy. I love Plastic Man.
Whoa, the Brave and the Bold one was totally Plastic Man. He's, like, this sort of ex-con who's trying to be good.
Yeah, but... I always feel
that's
like
part of his story.
No, but I always felt like Plastic Man would actually fit in really well in a Mad Magazine. He doesn't fit so well as like a regular comic book.
I mean, you need something special to write him. Like Paul Dini was good at that.
No, I just feel like Plastic Man needs to be totally batshit crazy.
Crazy. I mean, like you need somebody who's really funny, and there just aren't that many people at DC that can do that.
But no, that's the thing. I don't want him to have any rules of logic. He doesn't need logic. He needs to fight a villain named Red Herring who ends up being a fish.
He needs to not have a son.
Yes, and remember how, what was it?
That was so stupid.
Was it Kyle Davis? He's a really good cartoonist, but basically, he did Plastic Man, and he just, like, when the sun came back and all this stuff, it turned out in his comic book that the sun was actually Martian Manhunter, and his stripper wife was, like, some other changeling thing, and he just,
retcon the shit out of it.
And then Plastic Man fought Ra's al Ghul for no reason, and they had to rip off their shirts, and it was awesome. It was so good, I loved it. Anyway, but... That just proves that Plastic Man should not make any sense. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't need to. It just needs to be funny.
I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, that short was sort of like that, though.
No, that's what I liked about it. I thought it was really good. Right. So, I thought Plastic Man was awesome.
Do you think this is, like, a trend that's going to start happening?
Well, I really
with,
hope...
Like, these, because, I mean, they're using Saturday morning time blocks.
I want Plastic Man to have his own 15-minute cartoon, because I think it would totally work.
What's not the point? I'm talking about, do you think that they're, like, why do you think, like, that DC and Marvel are doing this weird Saturday morning block now?
We'll get to that. I want to review the ones that I saw. So I also saw the Tiny Titans, because that was actually on the web. So the new Teen Titans thing was on the web. And it was great. It was fun. It was basically exactly what I wanted it to be. It was a nice little short. I kind of felt like it was a little too short, but that's my problem. What this basically showed me was these in-between shorts, except for the Armin, which I think actually worked well as a short, I actually wanted more. Like, I was like,
wait, how many of the Tiny Teen Titan stuff did you see?
I saw one, the one about them burping.
Well, you know, they're the just like the Armin ones and the other ones, there's going to be multiple ones every Saturday.
I know. I want more. I want them to be longer. I want the show to come back.
Well, it's like two minute long short. Well, you can't, because Young Justice, that would cannibalize Young Justice audience.
It doesn't matter. It's a totally different type of a show.
Well, it's definitely more of a comedy, where Young Justice is, like, very serious.
It works perfectly on its own. You're pertaining to different people and different things that you like.
I mean, I guess, but as somebody that watched Teen Titans only because it was the only thing on... I mean, like, not to say it was a bad cartoon, it's just, when I watch a superhero cartoon, I want, like, the action, and, like, you know, the crazy, kinetic energy, and I don't, and when I watch, like, if I want a comedy, I'll watch a separate comedy, but I generally don't mix superheroes and comedy.
What are you talking about? There is crazy action in Teen Titans, and it was fun.
It was super anime style, and I couldn't stand it.
Oh, I loved
it. Was it Puffy AmiYumi got a career out of it?
I know, that made it even better.
That's so stupid.
I loved it. Oh, Teen Titans.
Like, how do you make a career in America by doing a Japanese theme song for American superheroes? It's
Brandon,
like the whole career path for that.
Brandon, there was a character in it who was basically Batmite, but his name was Larry, and he had a magic finger. He had magic finger!
He wasn't Batmite, he was more like Mixoplex, that's what they said.
Whatever, he had magic finger. It was awesome.
He did have the magic finger.
And then he sang the song! Robin. It was the best! I loved it, it was the best. And then
What kind of person becomes a Robin fanboy? That's just what's sad about
it. Oh my god, and then Robin was all like, criminals! Gotta fight the crime. That's awesome.
Well, what else did you see then?
Well, that's what I saw. I saw that. Yeah. So the shorts were great. I want them to be longer cartoons now. Young Justice, always good. I just want it to be longer. That's my problem. I want it to be more. More.
Just like Toonami was only like an hour, then 2 hours, then eventually like a 3 hour, 4 hour block. This has to start out slow.
That's true.
You gotta build up fans. And I think this is a great way to do it because even if somebody's not watching this on Saturday morning, it's still two new cartoons that are coming out every weekend, and they're based in this sort of superhero universe. So it's sort of like a theme that's building up. And I could see DC adding more stuff. I could see it expanding beyond superheroes, but still sort of being in the DC nation block. And then eventually, this is like a building on years of like success, because DC and Marvel really want to compete. Outside comic books, and you can tell that.
Well, that's the whole point. I think that's what it comes down to. So you're asking, well, why are they doing this? Well, because why the hell not? They've been doing this for years. They had a Batman Superman hour like back in the 70s.
But they didn't compete this directly. Like Marvel and DC stuff would be on the same network.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested who started this. I feel like it was DC and Marvel.
I think it was too. I think Warner Brothers directly wanted to just make a block of DC cartoons so that people always heard about DC superheroes.
But you know what? I mean, if Disney wants to go ahead and make a Marvel block on their, what is it, XD or whatever the hell it is?
That's the only mistake. Disney should try and put it on like ABC or something.
I mean, I feel like...
But they make more money putting like infomercials in the news on Saturday morning.
Yeah, but if they're trying to also sell their cable channel, the XD channel, then that's a good way to do it.
But they... Alright, we're Cartoon Network's been trying this out for a little bit. Marvel's been trying on Disney XD for years. Like, and they've had some success, but everything is inevitably canceled because nobody watches Disney XD or Toon Disney, I think it's, or whatever the hell it's called now.
One of the cool things is that Marvel finally actually made a good superhero cartoon. Although I kind of like the super, what is that funny
that's true.
One? What was that funny one?
The Avengers cartoon is good, but I've never once watched it on Disney XD. I've watched it online. And before that, they had Wolverine and the X-Men, which was awesome. And then before that, they had something truly awful, which was the Iron Man teenager show.
Yeah, but so anyway, that wasn't... But all that stuff was before Disney actually took it.
When they were trying to build up an audience for Marvel like stuff on Disney.
I was trying to say, I think... Now, I can't remember. Was the Avengers cartoon show on Cartoon Network first, and then it went over to Disney?
Are you talking about Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the current one?
Yeah, I think that was on Cartoon Network for a bit.
No, it wasn't. It was always on Disney.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, but whatever. So as far as the whole Disney thing goes, so that's always been on Disney. So that
was a great series. It's great to have two big series like that.
So that one was on Disney, and then you've got the Spectacular Spider-Man. That had issues because it was during the time Disney switched over, so they just had like a bad time, and now Weissman's over at doing Young Justice, so he's not coming back.
Which is why it's written so well.
It's written pretty well. Anyway, it's fun. I'll still like it. Yeah. But as far as, the whole Disney thing, I think that they've just had like really shitty cartoons for a long while. But luckily they've got a good one with the Avengers. I kind of feel like, the Spider-Man thing, hopefully it'll be good.
So is it just those two cartoons right now?
I need to look into them too. And it's going to be the exact same thing. There'll be new like interviews and shorts and stuff. They're doing the exact same thing that the DC thing's doing,
which is why it's pretty clear that it came afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I don't hate it, and I feel like what this is a direct thing is Cartoon Network. And let's just be very clear: Cartoon Network's been doing this for years. They have. You don't think they have, but they
have. They've been trying to build up blocks of stuff, but they've never really been successful since Toonami.
Yeah, they have. The Horror Thursdays, and then they had... Or was it Horror Fridays? And then
it was hard. I do remember the horror.
And they also had that block where, you know, this, it was a stupid character where he didn't have, like, a face, and he'd, like, change and was golden or something. And that was, like, was it? They had the, what is that family show where it had those guys fighting after monsters? Can't even remember what that show was.
I have no idea.
All right, there was a family of five monsters, and Clone Wars was during it. It was, like, an action block. That's what they called it. But basically, it's all been the same crap. The only thing they haven't been able to do, you're right, they haven't been able to do, like, a five-hour block of cartoons.
That are generally new content for people.
Well,
because, like, I mean, you remember in the heydays of Toonami, there were seriously, like, five or six new cartoons every day when you were a kid.
I feel like one of the problems is that I don't know enough about kids anymore, and also, I don't know, like, are there Japanese cartoons that kids are all about, besides, like, freaking Dragon Ball? Like, what is the big fighting cartoon?
Beyblade? I don't know.
Naruto?
But Naruto's not on any channel that's not on, like, cable.
Right, exactly. That's the problem. Is it because they can't censor it enough, or what's the issue?
You sound like one of those forum dudes. It's so much more violent in Japan.
Well, no, I mean, can't they censor it for American
TV? What I think is that Viz, who produces it, or who brings it over to America, and Hulu have done a very good job of bringing it to kids online.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you go to the Viz Anime website, you can actually stream stuff directly from Hulu from their website and keep track of what you're watching.
Well, it's anime-wise. It's not just Hulu; it's also Crunchyroll. So, do you think the internet has basically stolen Toonami away from us?
I think it's stolen anime away. Definitely.
Like, I mean, look at freaking, like, Adult Swim. It doesn't even show a freaking anime cartoon. Like, that's what it was built on.
No, it does. Saturdays are, like, the only anime day, though.
No, there isn't. I'm gonna go to Adult Swim's website right now.
What do you mean, no, there isn't? They're doing new episodes of Bleach right now.
I'm gonna look at Adult Swim.
There are currently new episodes of Bleach running.
I don't believe it. I'm looking it up.
They're also doing, Kekaishi. Don't you remember? I thought you were watching Kekaishi.
I'm looking at its shows right now. And so, let me see. We've got American Dad, American, Aqua Teen, Aqua Unit. What is that? Aqua Unit Patrol Squad 1?
Oh, that's a sequel to Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
That sounds awful.
It's okay. It's not the
Boondocks,
worst.
Children's Hospital, China, Delocated, a live show, thank you. Eagle Heart, I don't even know what that is.
Eagle Heart's amazing.
Eagle Heart's... let's see. King of the Hill, Family Guy, The Loiter Squad, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Oh, I like that one. Metalocalypse, I like that too, but there's no
episodes.
Are you
looking under the comedy section?
No, I'm just looking at their shows. NTS, oh, I actually saw that. That was actually kind of funny.
It's sort of like, I think it's made by the same producers of Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I thought Children's Hospital, I actually like that too, so. Anyway, Robot Chicken, Squidbillies, Tim and Eric, yay.
All right,
The Venture Brothers.
Let me read you the action series. Big
really?
O.
Where's the action series at?
I'm looking under action.
Aren't being shown anymore. Go to the schedule. When is it?
Big O is still on. I watched it last week.
When is it being shown?
It's being shown like around midnight on Saturdays.
I'm not seeing it here.
You have Cowboy Bebop. I don't know if that's still on. It probably is. You have Durarara, which is new episodes.
I guess they are showing
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which I saw last week.
What the fuck? I have to watch this at, like, freaking, like, midnight to watch some goddamn anime.
Alright, and then you have Ghost in the Shell, which it better be on, because that's the best show they've got.
They're actually showing Durarara? Ooh, I really like that show.
It's a great show.
Oh, it's really good. Wow, good for them. But, goddammit, it's at 5 a.m.
Well, because guess what makes more money? American comedies. Unfortunately...
You mean like
the thing that Adult Swim was trying to save us from, all the crappy Fox comedies every Sunday night have now taken over.
It's awful. God damn.
Remember when it was like Inuyasha every night and like you know, pretty much anime fans owned the every night in that network. Yeah,
they're showing Lucy Daughter of the Devil, for God's sakes. Like, when was the last time Cartoon Network came out with something new?
Adult Swim, you mean? Yeah, they don't. Adult Swim has no money. I don't know how they had this much quality stuff.
Well, they actually, I mean, they have a lot of live action shows now, but that's about it.
They do, because like all these people on Funny or Die have gotten rich making shit for Adult Swim.
Yeah, jackasses.
I mean, it's weird that, like, it's become sort of a, like, subversive humor network instead of what it originally was just, like, adult cartoons.
I'm trying to even see what this Aqua Unit thing is.
It's just a stupid sequel. There's no difference between that and Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, it does look exactly... It's
just
saying.
A new title. And a new sequence at the beginning.
Well, that's enough of that.
Well, did you see... Just to keep on cartoons, I feel like this is a cartoon episode.
Why do you care?
What?
I don't know. I just felt like...
Care about what? What just happened here?
I feel like we needed some tension.
Well, I thought we had some.
Oh, we did.
Oh, yeah.
Just want to bring it back.
Did you see Justice League Doom?
No.
Or, as I like to call it, the final Dwayne McDuffie film?
I did not actually see that. What's it about?
Did you read the Grant Morrison Justice League run? The
Rock of Ages?
What?
Yeah, that was what it was called. It's called Rock of Ages.
Basically Justice League, Batman has all these secrets on them to defeat each one of them.
No, that was Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, it was like that miniseries that went into a bunch of different titles, right. But Grant Morrison pretty much wrote it.
Well, I mean, basically what it is that Batman basically says, like, I know how to beat every single superhero, and then Ra's al Ghul steals it.
No, it wasn't Ra's al Ghul, in this, at least. It was just, a group of evil people.
Oh, it was Ra's al Ghul in the comic, I believe, if I can't remember right. And then he's like, I know how to beat Superman.
Was it?
And it's like, really? You don't know how to beat Superman?
Well, no, it was, I know how to beat everybody. That's what
I know.
God, who the hell was the mastermind? I don't even remember. That's, honestly, it was fun, but that just proved how forgettable that this movie was, really. I barely remember anything about it.
Let me see, I'm pulling it up right now. Because it was called JLA Tower of Babel. Yeah, because you got Batman standing on top of everybody who's dead.
It was basically... What is it? Grant Morrison was rebooting Justice League.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul basically steals Batman's contingency plans for all the superheroes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting. And he didn't. And the way that it ended was basically he didn't have a contingency plan for Cyborg. Was that part of it?
Let's see. Even though Batman claimed that measures had been for blah blah blah, they swapped bodies, blah blah blah. I don't even know what this says. Like, I don't even know how it ended.
What are you talking about?
I can't even see. Wow, the way he killed Superman was stupid. It was like Superman's skin becomes transparent with exposure to red kryptonite, which causes...
That sounds like such a Grant Morrison thing.
Which causes him to suffer a power overload.
Okay, so... alright, I just reread, yeah. So in this, it's Savage.
Oh, it is?
Is the villain. Which okay. He's basically a replacement for Ra's al Ghul.
He is.
I mean, he's a very Ra's al Ghul type character. But they did write it. I mean, McDuffie did write it in a way where it felt natural that it was Savage.
Oh, actually, it sounds like they were trying to do this earlier. They were going to call the movie Justice League Mortal.
Well, I thought they were actually going to call it Tower of Babel, because when you said that, it sort of clicked.
Yeah. No, they didn't. But I'm trying to read through this about how they, like, thanks to a nanite through her ear, Wonder Woman is trapped in a virtual reality battle machine with her perfect challenger, which would cause her heart to give out.
I mean, really, that's another thing that this movie definitely dropped the ball on, was it didn't do things that cool. Like, Wonder Woman's was, she got beat up real bad. That was basically what happened to her.
If I beat her up really bad, well, like, okay.
Oh, no, I know what it was. It was, Cheetah poisoned her. And made everybody look like Cheetah. That's what it was. And so basically Wonder Woman, like, murdered a bunch of innocent people or something. It was pretty horrible. She was beating the shit out of, like, innocent people, which, if you're Wonder Woman, I think would kill people.
Let's see. I'm trying to read what goes on. So apparently...
Hey, come on. Why aren't you talking?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, like, No, I want to know who didn't get it attacked. But it basically just sounds like...
It was Cyborg, wasn't it?
No, yeah. Cyborg wasn't in this one. Like, it just sounds like because he didn't attack Batman, Batman was able to fix it all.
That's not as good, actually, as Cyborg.
Listen, we all know that Grant Morrison has a hard-on for... Oh, wait, it isn't even Grant Morrison. This was Mark Waid.
No, I thought Grant Morrison...
No, it's a Mark Waid story.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I like Mark Waid, but it's Mark
Waid. It just
Waid.
Doesn't seem like him to do a weird story like that.
No, the one that Grant Morrison...
Oh, you're right, it was Mark Waid. Right.
Yeah, the one that Grant Morrison did was the original one, was called Rock of Ages, which was about the fake superheroes that come down. and then they just like, I just remembered
them getting their power stolen or something.
No, but this is, well, that, I think that was the Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Where you get the clone superheroes.
You know what? I probably just mixed up Tower of Babel and Rock of Ages. I thought, like, the villains got the contingency plans and then stole their powers or something.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
That's beside it. So, yeah.
Hey,
it
was, comics. So,
like, I feel like compared to the comic, it probably wasn't nearly as good.
Well, I mean, probably.
You had, let me try and remember. It was Batman fighting Bane, Martian Manhunter just got lit on fire by some dude I've never heard of. I guess he was a Martian. I have no idea.
Was he called the Human Flame?
What?
Was he called the Human Flame?
No. Well, I know the Human Flame. Okay. That was the first Martian Manhunter comic. But, no, this was, like, some dude who was also a Martian, but I don't know enough about Martian Manhunter. He basically gave him a drug that made him combustible, and then he lit him on fire. And so if he jumped in water, he wouldn't go out. It was interesting. Okay. Wonder Woman had that stupid drug. Flash did something. Oh, yeah, it was Flash, like, just couldn't beat the Mirror Master. That was the big plan, was, oh, no, the Mirror Master's difficult to beat.
Yeah, because this one actually sounds pretty cool. It says there is a Vibra bullet that basically would strike the Flash in the back of his neck, causing him to experience seizures at light speed before...
Oh, that's so much better than the Mirror Master fighting him on a train.
Yeah, but the problem was is that even... But Superman was able to get rid of it with his heat vision, but only exposed to the weapon for 22 minutes. Wally's relativistic speed makes the experience feel like months. So, God, man. So
that's that's so really torturous.
It's like he's, like, getting shot, but he's, like, feeling the bullet pain for, like, months.
Here was the worst one that, I mean, the Green Lantern, you should have something really good that has to do with yellow that takes him down, or something like that, some sort of weakness. But you know what it was? He goes to fight terrorists in some mine, and the mine collapses, and a bunch of people die, and Hal Jordan blames himself, so that apparently he's defeated.
Let's see. So,
and Star Sapphire does that, which is so it's so dumb.
So actually, this Plastic Man was pretty. I mean, the Green Lantern one, excuse me, because Plastic Man was in this too. But Green Lantern was actually pretty cool. In the original, it sounds like he was rendered blind by his own power ring from post hypnotic suggestion introduced while he was asleep, and the ring was placed on him at night. So because he can't function, because he can't see, because he's an artist. This was when Kyle was the Green Lantern. That was, like, the old new one or whatever. But that's kind of crazy and awesome.
I like, see, that's better, too. That's clearly better. Now, here's one that... This is the one that I can remember now that I actually liked more than I think all the others. This was Superman's. He was fighting some dude who was threatening to kill himself on top of the Daily Planet. Oh, no, he wasn't fighting him. He was talking to him. Mm-hmm. And the guy had a gun, and he was like, I'm either going to shoot myself or I'm going to jump. And Superman's like, no, don't do that. And then, out of nowhere, the guy points the gun at Superman and shoots him. And then, oh no, it turns out that it's Metallo. And the bullet was kryptonite.
That was stupid.
And it's like, really? Like, that's Superman's biggest weakness is that he's an idiot? I don't understand.
Alright, so first couple things. If the guy shoots himself, he can grab the bullet. Alright?
Well, no, exactly. What exactly was he talking? Why did he have to get so close to him? And then suddenly, he just points the gun point blank at Superman. And Superman's like, huh, that won't hurt me. And then he kills him.
Right, so there's a couple things that are going on there. One, his supervision, right? Shouldn't he be able to catch the bullet if he needed to?
Shouldn't he be able to see through the gun to see that there's a kryptonite bullet?
Well, it could have been a lead-plated gun, I guess. I don't know.
All right, that is possible, but it's Metallo, who's an idiot.
But, well, he was working with these other doofuses, but...
Even Savage isn't that smart. I don't know. The whole cartoon falls apart.
But let's just talk about the Superman thing just in general, because it's kind of funny. He shoots him, all right? So let's say the bullet's coming at Superman. He has enough time to dodge it, or vibrate.
I mean, he should, yeah.
It's not like kryptonite instantly kills him. That's kind of funny.
It's just, I don't know. And also, Metallo doesn't shapeshift. So what the hell is he bursting out of? Like, he basically bursts out of... He's just a robot.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah. Couldn't he notice that he's actually a robot?
The whole thing is... Like, that's why Superman's was my favorite one, because it was so completely ridiculous that, like, this guy just shoots Superman point blank with a gun.
Man, I actually like this. So this was the Plastic Man one. This sounds horrific. So
they had to get rid of Plastic Man? Why does it even matter?
Well, because he could still... He's actually a threat. But so the way they get rid of Plastic Man is... they basically freeze him, and then they shatter him with a hammer.
See, that's been done for him, though.
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, Oh, I just found out who the other guy was because I was just clicking through this. The Martian Manhunter enemy is Malefak, and he was the twin brother of Martian Manhunter.
Oh, that sounds lame.
Which I didn't know anything about, and now I don't care.
Oh, so, okay, I'm reading through this. So basically the way that the superheroes are able to fix this is that each one of the characters helps the other one out to get past this.
Which is an old trope, but I feel like Mark Waid would do it right. I need to read that story.
No, that actually sounds really... I like the idea because what it does is it lets each one of them be able to help them out, like be like their, you know, helps them through it. But so Aquaman becomes... This is actually pretty cool. Aquaman became hydrophobic due to Scarecrow fear toxin. Like that's a cool idea.
Or they use Scarecrow's fear toxin in the cartoon too. It had something to do with Green Lantern getting scared and right. Androids filled with it.
Right. Well, basically, but the problem with Aquaman is if he's without water, he will die in a couple of minutes. So pretty interesting. I like it.
Oh, and at the end, this is my favorite part because it's sort of like they've done this in the comic before. I mean, I definitely need to read the Mark Waid one, but in this one, at the very end, they are all like, should we vote to kick Batman out after they all voted Cyborg as an honorary member? So yeah. Cyborg's now part of the Justice League. It's like, should we all vote to keep him out? It's like, no, because I understand why he did it. And Superman, at the very end, hands Batman a kryptonite bullet.
Oh, yeah.
What I really wanted to happen after that was Batman just, like, throws in a pile of kryptonite bullets or something. I would have loved that.
Let me
just open my desk drawer, and it's, like, full of kryptonite.
He's like, this is awkward. I already have, like, five of these. Like,
I could just see something like that happening, and just, like, Superman's like, oh, fuck you, man.
Worst birthday present ever.
Like, I get a million of these. Why don't you give me something I ask for next time?
I think even better would actually be if Batman took off his glove and it actually was made out of kryptonite in his hand.
He just had the kryptonite hand. He's like, yeah. Man, one day.
And he puts it, and he actually puts it on his ring. He's like, fantastic, now I've got something to match.
Batman sort of leaves the Justice League after this cartoon. I don't know if this is going to continue into other ones, but it's interesting.
Who cares?
These Dwayne McDuffie movies have sort of been building a universe of their own.
I wouldn't say so.
There's been stuff that's repeated.
But the funny thing is, I actually did see online when this movie came out, they had like the animated sequence where Batman like is given the ring by Superman, and it honestly, without the words, it looks like he's proposing.
I mean, it was a ridiculous moment after everybody else left, so they're just alone.
Like, will you please be Mr. Superman?
He like puts his hand on his shoulder and he's like, I want you to have this. It's very, it's one of those weird moments. Like, do you remember probably my favorite moment of any of the animated movies? The Superman Doomsday one where Lex Luthor brings the Superman clone into the room with him. The one that he made, and he beats the crap out of him with kryptonite gloves.
Really? Because
he jumps. He basically jumps on top of him, straddles him, yeah. And then like gets really, really close and says, "Why didn't you wait for me?" And it looks like he's about to kiss him, and it's like, is this really a children's movie?
Are you sure he didn't get sexed up? Well, it was rated PG-13, so
it was, and there was blood, honestly, the only one that was really truly violent was the Wonder Woman movie. The Superman Doomsday was just weirdly homoerotic.
Yeah, and
it was in a way that was so enjoyable that it was like, I can't... The fact that they're using this kind of Lex Luthor, that's my dream Lex Luthor, one that's so crazy that he's actually in love with Superman.
No.
I think that's when I envision somebody who's completely insane and obsessed like that, how I see him coming out.
No way,
You don't think Lex Luthor loves Superman?
No, my favorite Lex Luthor is always going to be like the one from All-Star Superman. That's my Lex Luthor. That's the way he should be. He's totally obsessed.
Oh, the one that's like a dick?
No, he could fix, like, he fixes, like, I think he saves someone from cancer, and then he takes away.
He writes down the cure of cancer on his prison cell wall, and then as he's talking to Clark Kent, because he's giving him an interview, he erases it all. Right. And says that it's Superman's fault that he's doing that.
No, there was like a point where he could save someone. I can't remember who he saves in the All-Star Superman. And then and they're like, you could save this person. And then he does. And he's like, and then he takes it away. And he's like, I did it just to prove that I could do it. And you're like, dick.
Well, technically, are you talking about the fact he could have cured Superman if he wanted to?
No, it wasn't the cure of Superman. It was someone else. It was someone else he helps out. And then he just like totally does something else. And the fact that like when he finally gets Superman's power, when he finally realizes what it's like to be Superman...
Yeah.
He cries and he's like, oh, he's like, I get it now. And then you know, as soon as he starts losing the powers again, and Superman punches him, and he totally gets what's coming, he goes back to the way he is. He doesn't learn anything. He's a dick.
Because he is what he is. He's a scorpion. He doesn't give a shit about anybody, and he's never going to, even if he has those powers.
No, he blames Superman for all this stuff, but when it comes down to it, what makes Lex Luthor such a great villain is he has all this awesome powers. He is Superman. He could be Superman.
Yeah, he could.
He just chooses not to because he's a dick.
And then he says, like, you know, humanity has only Superman to blame for Lex Luthor not helping them.
Right, exactly. So if you look at, like, all those, like, Superman is a dick, like, covers and stuff like that, that is my favorite Lex Luthor. That's Lex Luthor.
Okay, I mean, like, and honestly, that Lex Luthor, like, I think there's a scene in that series where him and Clark Kent are walking around the prison. He's interviewing him, and it's just such a great character moment for Lex Luthor, because he's telling Clark Kent all these important things.
So that's the thing about Superman that I actually really like. The only thing that I feel like, and it's going to sound awful, but my only character flaw that I think Superman needs to have is that he loves too much. That he's so good, he's so trusting, that that's his only flaw. Like, he's an awful, he's like when those politicians say that. He's true, it actually is
true. Well, he sort of is, I mean, but at the same time, he's not. Because, I don't know about any other characters who don't know who he is, but the fact that Lex Luthor doesn't know that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person, that's the worst. Like, if Lex Luthor ever finds out, he would go crazy.
I think
he would murder half the human race because he felt
like
everybody's
himself,
laughing at him.
But he wouldn't. But it's awesome. No, but that's what makes it so great. It's how Lex Luthor
would take it as Clark Kent playing a joke on him. Lex Luthor would think that he was laughing at him because he didn't know.
Well, I don't think he would ever
believe.
Because
he's crazy.
I don't think he would ever believe that Clark Kent would ever be Superman.
No, but if it was like thrust up, he couldn't deny it.
He could get denial. Like, he wouldn't believe it. Guaranteed.
I mean, that's generally how I assume that he doesn't know current. Like, that's how I assume he doesn't know right now.
Well,
is that he just denies it.
Yeah, he is. He's very brilliant. He probably knows, but he doesn't know. It's awesome. I love it. That's why I think Grant Morrison, also Superman. I got no words. It's probably my favorite superhero comic ever. God, it's so good.
I mean, it's
God,
it's
so amazing. Good.
To get me to read a Superman comic is a huge feat, and he actually got me to read Action Comics for like 6 months before I gave up. Like, yeah. I've dropped that book now. It's just not good.
That's how I feel like about Batman. Rest in peace. I loved it so much. Oh God.
Grant Morrison. He has a handle on those characters so much that I'd almost want to see if he could even write. If he could write like a Wonder Woman book, that he'd have all three. And I don't know anybody that's written a Wonder Woman book that I've really loved.
No, I mean, that'd actually be pretty cool. I would like to see him do Wonder Woman. I'd like to see him do, like, an actual
job. I mean, not saying that Brian Azzarello's not doing a good job now, but it's just, without Cliff Ching on the book, it's not a great book.
Can we actually have, like, Wonder Woman where she doesn't come from an island full of lesbians?
They've done that. There was, like, in the 80s, she, like, was a like a secret agent.
Secret agent, but that was like in the 60s and 70s, yeah. No, I don't have a problem with, like, you know, obviously I live on an island full of women. They can have total girl love and stuff like that, but it just always feels like, yeah, instantly, they gotta be lesbians. They've got to.
I don't think they've ever said that.
Yeah, they have. It was like
Hippolyta's definitely not a lesbian.
Hippolyta
was married to Hades. Point.
And it's like, it's trying to be all edgy and stuff, but it just
Or was
feels,
that Helen?
Just
yeah, who the hell
like,
was...
It just
was
feels
Helen,
like some kind
who,
of teenage boy
Hades?
Fantasy. Just weird.
Anyway, they were like, no. The Amazons, like, all got, like, Greek men and stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
Also, can Wonder Woman also dress out like a stripper? Can we get that, too?
You don't think this costume is better than the other ones?
I mean, it still looks strippery.
I mean, the current one's definitely the most modest I've seen ever.
It's not that modesty. Let's get
the only difference, like, what, you want her to start wearing pants again?
I mean, let's
the answer is no, you don't.
Granted, I don't really think, like, the superheroes look all that great. The reason why they look the way they do and the reason they wear costumes the way they are is because back when they first came out, that was what circus people wore. There aren't circuses anymore. There's no circus. Like, I like the idea of Superboy wearing a t-shirt and jeans because that's what someone normally would do. They're not going to wear a cape. They're not going to, like, who... The idea behind a cape doesn't make any sense anymore. There's no reason for it.
I mean, nobody wears capes, but I think sometimes you can make.
Why, if you were going to be a super,
if you're a gay hero, I don't know a better way to tell people you're gay than with a rainbow cape.
I guess that's true.
I'm just saying.
Why would you have to tell
people? There's the logic.
Like, why can't you just, like, you know, it's between you and your, you know, whoever. That's not something I need to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're proud of it, totally do it. But, you know, you don't need a cape for that.
Guess what I want to talk about?
Hey, what do you want to talk about instead of upset being...
Orc testicles.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
No, you don't. Well, that's good because the new issue of Orcstain didn't have any in them.
Thank God.
There were no orc penises. There was what they call the Poxigronk, which is the... It's something to do with when you kill somebody for revenge. I don't know. But that's beside the point. You steal their testicles or something.
That's besides the penis.
The real story is, oh my God, the seventh issue of this came out. The dude Stucco, I don't know how to pronounce it. He is one of the greatest artists I've ever seen doing comics. Like, he's up there with, like, Frank Frazetta in, like, fantasy-style crap. It's unbelievable. And he does backgrounds that, like, are unbelievable and expansive and just brilliant. And, I mean, like, the story itself is really fun, but I mean, I've heard a lot of people who don't like it. It's very weird and fantasy and...
And penis-y.
And just, it's really just about orcs murdering each other.
Just a lot of penis.
And, what?
A lot of penis.
Yeah, but, like, you know, in the same way that you could watch Oz and still enjoy the good drama. This is sort of like a fantasy comedy.
Is there penis in Oz?
Yeah, tons.
Oh, don't remember.
That's why it was on HBO. I mean, besides all the...
Probably
the
didn't watch Oz enough. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, that was a huge part of it, was all the male nudity.
Well, I mean,
That wasn't the plot point. There was never an episode about penises, but...
As long as it's there. About the artistic value, I mean, we don't want people to be pieces
there wasn't
of
just an, Yeah, there wasn't just an episode where all you heard were, like, it was a silent episode where you only hear balls hitting thighs or something. One that didn't exist.
Why is that funny? I don't know what it is.
But, I mean, like, if you really need to read, like, pick up the trade or find it online or whatever, it's just so good. And the only problem I have with it now is it feels like this is going to be the style that Stucco does because it takes him so long to make each issue. He's going to make, like, six at a time and then release them all.
I really thought you were going to say, like, the only issue you have is there's not enough penis.
Well, no, it's really just that there's not enough. It doesn't come out frequently enough. It was like 6 months in between this and the last issue. It's just, I mean, like, it's one of those ones where it's not, you never fall behind because the story's so simple. You just remember, oh yeah, this orc emperor was trying to chase down this guy with one eye who was a really good thief. And this thief is now traveling with some nymph who has a backpack that's alive and you don't know why.
Brandon, why don't you go look up Paul Pope and see how long it takes him to come out with an issue, all right?
Yeah, I know. There are lots of guys who take forever. Even Jeff Smith. When you look at his minimalist style art, why does it take him so long to come out with an issue? I love his art. I think it's great, but it's not a lot of detail.
It looks fantastic. Like, how could you say that doesn't take a while to make?
I mean, like, the inking probably takes the longest. I mean, it looks, like, unbelievable, but I don't know. It just... I don't see how that takes any longer than a lot of the other monthly comics.
Brandon, do you look at Tintin and be like, that should have taken, like, no time at all?
No, because Tintin, the backgrounds are, like... I'm saying, like, Jeff Smith is known for being sort of minimalist, but even Bone took forever. I just
His
don't know.
His backgrounds are incredible. They're, like, super realistic.
I don't know. They don't look all as detailed as, like, Herge's stuff.
Whatever. You're lame. You're lame. You're wrong.
I'm not trying to hate on him, but I would like to see Jeff Smith draw a page and see really, like, what's going on, because I just don't see how it takes that.
Have you not read Bone? There's, like, freaking vistas and rocks, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, but he just draws, like, these outlines on them. He doesn't, like, do a lot of hatching and detail on them.
All right, I'm going to look up a beautiful Jeff Smith page. I want to show it to you right now. It's going to be fantastic.
No, all right. Anyway, Orcstain. You read it. Everybody read it. Stucco's a genius, and just art alone, it's great. But I kind of enjoy the story, too, a lot. Like, I'm not huge into fantasy like this, but it's definitely got me.
Yeah.
And even if it's just because of the art, like, I'm going to read this until it's over.
Yeah, there you go. There's a nice culture page. Anyway, so what's the next thing? Because we only have, like, 4 minutes. 4 minutes!
Do you read Unwritten?
No, I haven't read that. I probably should.
Well, I mean, this is Mike Carey at his best, and it's when he does creator-owned work. It's been going on for a while now.
Yeah. I know you love it. Actually, I do have something we should talk about, because we only have a little bit of time left. All right.
Such a baby.
Mass Effect 3.
You're very stuck in your producery ways, and we have to have morals and we can't go past the time limit.
Shut up, Brandon. This is important. I'd like to thank our sponsor tonight, Mass Effect 3.
What? We're not sponsored by them.
I wish we were. We're,
sponsored by Audible.com.
Brandon, maybe if we started acting like we were sponsored by like Mass Effect 3, we would actually get.
I don't think you get sponsors that way. You can't just sort of annex a sponsor.
I'm pretty sure that's actually how it happens. And I like the term. I like how you use annex. That was actually pretty nice.
Well, I was just thinking a lot about Nazis today. So,
is that like something that's like a hidden thing that you just fear that you just think about?
You know, some people are afraid of things. I'm afraid of two things, though. Nazis are scary. And then also, at work, I'm afraid of Chinese spiders jumping out and biting me.
Chinese spiders. Like, actually, I don't want to look that
China.
Up. Like, why would I ever want to look up spider? I've done that before. It doesn't end well.
Scary. I don't even look them up. I'm convinced they exist.
Oh, you don't actually know if they exist or not. These are like figments. Like,
these are spiders from China that probably want to kill me.
Well, why does it have to be from China? I mean, like, is that...
Well, because that's where all the stuff comes from.
Oh, okay, I understand. So it's the fear of the unknown. You haven't been to China.
It's the fear of boxes filled with spiders.
Boxes full of spiders. Now, those spiders could have actually made, like, a detour. Like, they could have actually come from, like, South America. And then you could have actually gotten them from China. So they could not be actually from China.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they could have come from Germany. Because then they could have been Nazis.
Well, I mean, I don't really feel like spiders ever actually took up a specific stance during that war. I'm not going to blame them for certain things.
Like the Swiss?
Well, yeah, they're kind of neutral. I wouldn't say they were neutral either. I feel like they were kind of going about their own business, you know?
Their neutral neutrality.
I know, right? They have 8 fingers. You think they could do... Or 8 legs. 8 legs.
So, did you want to talk about something?
I was talking about Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you out in a line buying it, Brandon? I thought you were a fan.
Are you actually going in line?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, I ordered it from Amazon. And guess what? I got an email today that said it shipped and it will be here tomorrow.
Hey, that's fantastic. You enjoyed that game. You know what I did? Instead of finishing Mass Effect 2 so I could play Mass Effect 3.
Oh, God, you didn't finish?
I'm talking to you and entertaining you jackasses. How do you like that? I'm a happy person.
Jeez.
I know.
Even the people who are waiting for the last second at least finished already.
Hey, listen. Listen, sometimes, you know, you want to take your time, you want to work into it, and you just want to finish
later. You know what? No. Get off. You're not allowed to play Mass Effect 3. I remember when you were bad-mouthing 1.
I don't like it. I still hate 1.
I'm
playing the other one.
I want you gone.
Listen, Helmet Girl...
1 was even more of an RPG.
Shut up. All right?
Excuse me. You just want to play Gears of War RPG.
That's all I want.
That's all
true.
You want.
That's
get out of
what
here.
I want. What?
I bet you're going to play the action mode.
I totally will.
Like, skips all the story modes. No, it turns them into FMVs, so you don't even get a talk.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I can do that?
There are 3 modes. There is story mode, action mode, and RPG mode.
Are you kidding me?
And RPG mode plays like the normal Mass Effect.
That's awesome.
Story mode is incredibly easy action.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then action mode is very hard action and cutscenes instead of conversations.
What?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
I think that's a good idea, because now nobody can complain, really.
No, Brandon. What that is that's trying to please everyone, and you end up pleasing no one. Do you
no,
ever hear
because
that saying?
I'm sure they only concentrated really on the RPG mode.
I hope
But they gave people these other modes to play if they want.
Alright, let me put it this way. If you're kind of damn playing Mass Effect and you want action, fuck you. Alright, if you're playing Mass Effect
and
you want... No, shut up.
You'll be playing the RPG version. How does this affect you?
I'm gonna speak my mind and you shut the hell up. Alright? If you're playing
story mode
and you can't beat
idiotic.
A freaking game, Mass Effect, because it's goddamn easy, it's power burst, and fire the rocket, fuck you too. Learn how to play a goddamn video game. God.
So,
damn it.
How much did you love the multiplayer?
I didn't play it because
you didn't.
Because I have a brother named Brandon who doesn't
play
multiplayer with. Oh, so you played with someone else?
I played it once because
did you play
I
with strangers.
But well, no, I read online that the you level up in the demo, but it doesn't transfer over. So I didn't want to play it too much because I didn't want to waste like a bunch of time.
Well, I'm going to be playing on the stupid PS3 version because I can't transfer over my save. So yay.
All right. I mean, The fact is, the matchmaking matches you up so well anyway. It doesn't really matter who you're playing with.
Who do you play as? Do you play as your shepherd?
No. What you get is basically you get like a class, a human male of some random class, and then as you play, you can purchase new classes and new races and new everything. Amazing.
So you don't have to be a human?
No, you don't. You can be an Asari, you can be a Terillian, you can be a Krogan, it's so cool.
Oh, that's good, actually.
I mean, it's nothing new in terms of gameplay. It's basically a horde mode or something like that, like, you know, Gears of War. But you have all the Mass Effect stuff, all the powers, all the guns. It's awesome.
Is there, like, a story to it?
It's basically waves, and you build up money, and you buy new equipment.
I'll have to play it.
I mean, it's very bare bones, but it's fun. And you could see them adding download content for it.
Oh, by the way, don't I have to play, like, the demo of, like, the something to get, like...
You have to play a demo of Kingdoms of Amalur, but I didn't really bother. I don't care about extra armor right now.
Yeah. To be completely honest, like, I've been playing through Mass Effect, like, 2, and I never changed my equipment. It's always been the same.
I mean, like, that was the big problem with Mass Effect 2, was, like, you wear basically the same armor for a long time, and you don't have to change guns because they all use the same ammo.
Right, they all use the same ammo, and they all do the same damage.
So you'll be happy to know that it's way harder in the third game. It's much more like the first game again.
An RPG? Right,
yeah, well, it's way more like an RPG, but it also, the graphics have improved so much that it might as well be Gears of War at this point.
Can I actually change to a woman now, like, all of a sudden?
when you start the game, yeah, you can. You could have done that in Mass Effect 2.
And it doesn't make any sense, but apparently you can do it. All right.
Yeah, well, because they're rebuilding you from scrap.
I know. Again, apparently.
Well, sort of. If you die in Mass Effect 2, then you have to. But if you don't die, I don't think they have to rebuild you like that.
Okay. Anyway, well, I'm going to go play some Mass Effect 2. That's the end of the episode.
Well, hey, why don't you go on iTunes and give us ratings, people, so that we can keep making this show. I could still make it, but I couldn't, you know. Oh, and I might be planning another podcast, so stay tuned.
Wait, what?
Oh, you didn't know that. Episode end. Commence now.
Oh, no.